Yeah, good morning, everyone. If you have your Bible, grab it, turn it to John chapter 9. And while you're turning there, I just want to make a couple of quick announcements on this first Sunday of 2022. Amen? Yeah. All right. So first of all, our winter quarter kicks off this week. That's right. Wednesday night, Our rescheduled Thanksgiving dinner has now turned into a pizza feast, right? So we are going to save a turkey and eat a pizza. And then afterwards, we're going to have classes for all ages. So come hungry, both physically and spiritually, 6 o'clock on Wednesday night. And then everyone say next Sunday. Next Sunday, we kick off our small groups at 9 a.m. There's an insert in your bulletin that kind of gives a rundown on what groups we have to offer the next 9 weeks. And so we're just asked that you guys choose one, make a commitment to be there those 9 weeks as you grow in your relationship with God and one another. And then finally, I know we're a few weeks away, but 5 weeks from today on Sunday, January 30th, put that on your calendar. We're calling it Ignite. It's going to be an evening of prayer, worship, and a vision. And it's going to be a special experience for us as a church where we're just going to pray for our congregation. We're going to seek the Lord in worship, and I'm just going to be sharing with you the vision for 2022 for our congregation. It's not the big tamale 25-year vision, but it's going to kind of give a framework to build up to that and kind of give you an idea of where we're going to be going, laying that foundation for that vision. So you definitely want to be here Sunday, January 30th. Amen. So now back to the Gospel of John. You've had time to find chapter 9 if you wanted to. Let's look at verse number 1. This is what Scripture tells us. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. Now, the indication right here in verse 1 is just that Jesus didn't just merely glance at him or catch him out of the corner of his eye, but he observed the man. He even maybe studied him, had compassion on him as he contemplated him, maybe his situation. Now, we're not told a whole lot about the guy, are we not? I mean, we don't know how old he is. John doesn't even give us his name. All we know is that he has been blind from birth. So here we go, verse number 2, excuse me. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." Now, back then, as much as it is today, there was this understanding that your suffering, your plight, the situation that you may have found yourself in was due large in part to maybe some kind of sin you committed. Now, we're not talking about consequences from the fall, mind you, from Genesis chapter 3. You know, sin entered into the world back then, and now all sorts of bad things happen to people. Why are your bodies broken? Why do you get sick? Well, it's because of sin. Why do people die? Well, it's because of sin. Why are people separated from the Father and don't have a relationship with the Father? Well, we can trace really all that back to Genesis chapter 3, the fall, because of sin. But the understanding that his disciples had at that time was that any kind of suffering that you experience was due to a type of sin you may have committed. And a lot of us, even today in the 21st century, we still have that same kind of mindset, because here's what will happen. If something bad happens to you, what do you immediately say? A lot of us, when we find ourselves in a tough situation, our first question is, why is this happening? What did I do? Thank you. What did I do? What did I do to deserve this? Something bad is happening to me, so I must have done something bad to receive it. And so the disciples go up to him, to Christ, and they say, "Well, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents?" Which kind of gives us an insight to their mindset and the fact of they're wanting to learn. They're wanting to understand. They're going to him and saying, "Jesus, help us understand this. We don't really quite know what's going on. Who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus' response is this. said, neither. I made him this way. I made him like this so that the works of God could be glorified, could be manifested in him. I mean, I wish I could have seen the disciples' look on their faces, because they would have been just as in shock as you and I would have been hearing that. It blows our mind to think that God would manifest himself through our weaknesses rather than our strengths. That God would show himself mighty through someone who is suffering rather than someone who is successful. It's what Paul tried to tell the Christians in Corinth. Remember what he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Listen, verse number 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being or becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, because of this, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. I don't know about you, but that would be very difficult for me to say. For the sake of Christ, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So, Rabbi, teacher, why did you make this guy this way with this weakness? And Jesus says, so that my power could be made manifest through the weakness. It's through his weakness that I'm going to show myself as being good. It's through his weakness that I'm going to show myself as being kind and compassionate and merciful and gracious. And it's all because he was born blind. Verse 4. Just Jesus talking. He said, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so Jesus is just basically referencing here his death, burial, and resurrection. I'm going to die, and then I'm going to leave. And when I leave, darkness is going to come. I am the light of the world. And so while I'm here, it's going to be day. I'm leaving. Once the light leaves, night is coming. So we have work to do. We have work to do while I'm here, so let's do it. Let's get to work. So here we go, verse 6. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva, which is gross, okay? Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud, which is grosser, if that's a word. Verse 7. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now, if you can, just for a moment, pretend that you never heard this story before and put yourself in this man's shoes. You've been blind from birth. All you've ever known is a darkness. You don't even know what light is. You've never seen it. You've never seen beauty. You've never experienced sight at all. And while you're sitting there one day, maybe off in the distance, maybe next to you, you hear a conversation between some guys. You hear that maybe it's this guy named Jesus. You hear his name Jesus and his disciples. And maybe you heard about Jesus, but maybe you even haven't. The text is not clear. And the disciples, you overhear them ask Jesus a question. Hey, what's wrong? Who sinned, this guy or his parents? And you think to yourself, okay, here they go. Once again, someone's talking about me, acting like I'm not even here, acting like I can't hear what they're saying. I'm blind, I'm not deaf. People are talking about me because that's what they always do. They always talk about me. And his disciples say, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus says, neither. He was born like this. I made him like this so that I could be glorified, the works of God could be glorified through his weakness. And I'm wondering if the guy is sitting there wondering, okay, what does this mean? Does this mean Jesus is about to heal me? Because maybe you heard the stories of back, like in John chapter 5, when he just told the man who was crippled to get up and walk. And maybe Jesus will just tell me, just say to me, just speak the words to me, be healed, open your eyes and see, oh, I can't wait to see what Jesus is going to do through this. And in the middle of your thoughts, while your mind is racing, all of a sudden, the next sound you hear is right? You're probably thinking to yourself, what in the world is going on? I mean, I've had a lot of things happening to me before in my life, but never have I heard someone spit. At least if they spit on me, but Jesus didn't even spit on me. I don't even know what is happening. And all of a sudden you hear something, you know, some rustling in the ground, right? And the next thing you know, boom, mud gets splattered all over your eyes. And you're probably thinking, what in the world is going on here? Can he just peek it? Why is he doing this to me? He spit it in the ground. He made mud and then he put it in my eyes. And I don't know if you know this or not, but let me just get graphic with you so you can know what this guy is feeling. I don't know if you've ever spit before. I don't know if you've ever spit on the ground before. I don't know if you've ever tried to use spit before to make mud out of the ground, but I could just imagine that that's a lot of spit. I mean, this is not just one or two. I mean, this is a lot of spit being put on this guy's eyes, and he's probably thinking, what in the world? And Jesus tells him, hey, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And the guy was like, yeah, obviously, what else am I going to do? I'm not just going to leave this on my eyes, right, with mud on my face. Okay, I'm just making sure you guys are with me. Yeah, I have to go now, Lord. I have to go. He goes and he washes the mud out of his eyes. And then immediately, as soon as the mud is washed out of his eyes, he can see. This man has been miraculously healed from blindness, from birth, from a dude he still has not seen. He's only heard. And so the next part, verse 8. Is basically people trying to figure out what's happened, what's going on. Let's look at it. Verse 8. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, listen, guys, I am the man. And so the whole town is trying to figure out what happened because they know they've seen this guy begging out in the streets. And now here he is walking around able to see. He doesn't have a cane. He's not on someone's shoulder with someone leading him to where he needs to go, being led somewhere. Something has happened. Verse 10. So they said to them, then how were your eyes open? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. Notice what the guy says at the very beginning when they ask him, who did this? Who healed you? And the man's response is this. The only understanding that he has of Jesus is this. There's this man called Jesus. That's all he knows. This dude they called Jesus came and spit in the ground, made mud, plastered it on my eyes, told me to go wash, and I washed, and now I can see. I don't even know where he went. I don't know where he is. Verse 13. So they brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So right away, John's kind of given us a clue, given us a key on why the Pharisees are about to be so upset, or why they are still so upset with Jesus. You were not supposed to work on the Sabbath. The Sabbath day was holy. You were supposed to rest. And so they had a litany of rules of what you were supposed to do and not do, I guess I should say. And you weren't supposed to knead clay or knead whatever with your, you weren't supposed to do like this kind of stuff with your hands on the Sabbath, because that was considered working. And they bring this man before the Pharisees and they're like, hey, Jesus did this with his hands. He broke the Sabbath, and you're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath with your hands. And so let's go get him. So verse 15, so the Pharisees again asked the man how he had received his sight. You're getting a glimpse, like right away, the Pharisees are looking for a problem. They're looking for difficulties rather than rejoicing. I mean, are you tracking with me? This guy has been blind from birth. He now can't see. And instead of rejoicing, instead of praising God, instead of throwing a party, they're holding a court martial. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes and I washed and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. Verse 17. And so they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes? And he said this, listen, he said this, he is a prophet. So just a few sentences ago, it was this man, this dude called Jesus. Now, he's a prophet. He's moving further and further, closer to knowing who Jesus is. And in his mind, you got to understand, you got to put him in the context, right? He's a Jew. He's been a Jew from birth. All he knows is the temple and the sacrificial system. And more importantly, all he knows is their history, the Old Testament. And the highest title that this man can think of to give Christ at this moment, the only title he knows to give him is the title of prophet. The mouthpiece of God, one who is sent from God to tell God's people a message from the Lord. That's all I know. Who do you say he is? Well, he is a prophet. That's who he thinks Jesus is. And so, unsatisfied with his answer, they don't like his answer, the interrogation now turns to his parents. Look at verse 18. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight. And they asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? So basically four questions. Is this your son? Was he born blind? Does he now truly see? And how in the world did that happen? Look at verse 20. Here we go. And so his parents asked him, or answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. And yes, he now can't see, but how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. Talk about being thrown under the bus, right? Talk about having your kids back. Why aren't they standing up for him? Well, John tells us, look at verse 22. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, because of this, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. And so what we see happening in John is this steady progression. Because back in John chapter 5, we see this interaction that Jesus gets into, this altercation that he gets into with the Pharisees. And we know as early as John chapter 5, a verse reads, they were seeking all the more to kill Jesus. So as early as John chapter 5, the Pharisees are looking for ways to kill Christ. We know from last week at the end of John chapter 8, guess what? They tried to. They got stones and they were trying to kill him. And somehow, some way, Jesus avoids them, goes off into hiding. They can't find him. He escapes. But now here in John chapter 9, there's a shift. There's a transition because now it's not just persecution against Jesus, right? It's against those who profess Jesus as Messiah. Those people now are going to be persecuted. Those people now are going to be treated differently. And so mom and dad have a choice here. We can either tell them everything we know about Jesus and who we think he is and get kicked out of the temple, or we can take the easy way out. And what do? They say, well, we'll take door number two. Our son is of age. He's an adult. You need to ask him. Verse 24. And so they do. So for the second time, they called the man who had been born or who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God, which is just their way of saying, you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. And in case you don't know what you're supposed to swear to, listen to how verse 24 ends. Because we know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner, which he isn't. Verse 25. Here we go. He answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. I love his answer. And here's why I love his answer. Because in his answer, he shows us you don't have to know the Greek to witness to someone. In his answer, he shows us that you don't have to know Hebrew to witness to someone. He gives them the most powerful testimony he can give them, and that was his testimony. He said, I don't know about the man's morality. I don't know if he's a sinner or a saint. Here's what I do know. All I know is I once was blind, but now I see. And church, I'm here to tell you that the most powerful testimony, the most powerful experience you can give someone is what God has done in your life. You don't have to know all the answers. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea. I don't know Greek. I don't know Hebrew. In fact, I don't even have a lot of scripture memorized. I only know one verse, John 3:16. But all I do know is this. Here's what I can tell you. This is what God did in my life. What are people going to say to that? The Pharisees couldn't respond to him, right? They couldn't say anything to it. Look at verse number 26. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? The answer is no, by the way, in case you didn't know that. Rhetorical question, right? But do you see the progression of this man's understanding about who Jesus is? Who did this to you? It's this dude named Jesus. What do you say about them, about him? Well, he is a prophet. And now, do you want to become a disciple too? The translation there is this, because I am. I don't know all the answers. I don't know how to respond to you. All I know is that I am now a follower of Christ. Do you want to become a follower of him too? Look at 28, verse 28. And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. Right? Last chapter, it was, you know, our father is Abraham. It's like they're throwing out all their credentials. Our father is Abraham, but now we're disciples of Moses. Verse 29, we know that that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. Verse 30, the man answered, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. His understanding is progressing even more. Who healed you? A man. All I know about him is his name's Jesus. What happened to you? Well, who do you say he is? He's a prophet. Then it's, I'm his disciple. And now it's, I know he's been sent from God. How in the world could he do something like this unless he was sent from God? Verse 34. They answered him, you were born in utter sin. There's that understanding that they had. Something happened. Either you or your parents did sin because you were born blind. You were born in utter sin. And would you teach us? Can you hear the disdain in their voice? I mean, they're blinded by their own pride and arrogance. We're the Pharisees. We're who you should try to emulate. We're who you should try to be. I mean, look at us. We're righteous. We do all the right things. We're God's person, spokesperson. We're God's ministers. And now you're going to try to teach us. And what happened to him? Verse 34, and they cast the guy out. Look at verse 35. Because this is the first time that we know of that he actually physically sees Jesus. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And having found the man, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Lord, I believe, and he began to worship him. Who healed you? It's this guy named Jesus. Who do you think he is? Who do you say he is? Well, he's a prophet. Well, do you want to be a disciple like me? Because I'm a disciple of him. I know he is sent from God. And now this man declares he is my Lord and Savior. Verse 39, Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who may see may become blind. Now we know Jesus is speaking metaphorically here, spiritually here. I mean, his mission is not to make physically blind people physically see or physically seeing people physically blind. Jesus is using this as an object lesson, a metaphor to talk about the spiritual realities of the purpose of why he came. He put it this way in Mark's gospel. Listen to Mark chapter 2, verse 16. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he, Jesus, was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. My purpose is to come to those people, those individuals who know they are broken. They know they are blind. And I come to them and I heal them. I restore them. I save them. I give them sight. And here's the thing. The Pharisees think that they are well. It's not that they are well. Are you tracking with me? They think they are. They think they have it all put together. But in reality, they're very sick. They're in desperate need of Jesus. They are blind. I mean, listen to what some of them tell Christ after they hear him say this. Look, go back to John chapter 9, verse 40. Some of the Pharisees near Jesus heard these things and said to Christ, are we also blind? Translation, are you saying that we're a sinner? Are you saying that we're sinners? Are you saying that we've messed up? Are you saying that we've fallen short of God's grace? Verse 41, Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. Now that you think you have it all put together, you know, I have it all figured out. Now that you think that you are righteous, well, guess what happens? Your guilt remains. There is no forgiveness for you. So a couple of thoughts here as we kick off this first Sunday of 2022. The purpose is, the first one is this. There is purpose in your suffering. I'll say it again. There is purpose in your suffering. It's not that you have sinned. It's not that your spouse has sinned. It's not that your children have sinned. It's not that your parents have sinned. But through this story, we understand that there is purpose in your suffering. And that purpose is that God is wanting to manifest himself through your life, through your situation. And instead of complaining about it, instead of being down about it, being depressed about it, throwing up your hands and being like, oh, why me? You need to shift your thinking this year and understand, God, what are you about to do through me because of this? Woo. We need to be like the Apostle Paul was in 2 Corinthians when he wrote, I'm going to rejoice because when I'm weak, then I am strong. Church, there is purpose in your suffering. Not only that, second thing I want to for you to take away this year as we start off 2022, understand that your problems may increase. Understand your problems may increase, not decrease. It was like the only luck that this blind man had was bad luck. He was just healed from blindness. A predicament he had been in since birth. And instead of people throwing a party, they throw him out of the temple. Instead of people rejoicing and celebrating with him, they beat him down. Even his parents distanced themselves from him. Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be, not maybe, will be persecuted. You see, there's purpose in your suffering. Your problems may increase. But here's the third thing I want to leave you with this morning is this. The promise you have is Christ. In the end, the man received Jesus, and that's all he needed. That's all he needed. Despite his suffering, despite the problems he encountered, he received Jesus. John chapter 1 told us, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become what? Children of God. It's about a relationship, and the promise is that you and I receive Christ. And so this morning, that's what we want to do in response. We want to receive Jesus. We don't want to glorify our situation, our problems, our circumstances. We want to glorify him and who he is, that we have been made whole and restored in right relationship with him again, that we have the right to be called children of the Most High. So to do that, we have communion up here in the front, the piece of bread that represents his body that was given to us, the cup of juice that represents his blood that was shed for us this morning. Rejoice in him that he has made, reconciled you unto himself and has made you a child of the Most High. If you haven't made that decision, if you haven't received him yet, man, we'd love to pray with you. My wife and I are going to be up here in the front. If there's a prayer need that you have, listen, church, we'd love to pray with you, whatever it is. We also want to respond in worship through a giving. We have the offering plates up here at the front. If you're watching online, you can mail a check to P.O. Box 1774 here in Owosso. You can go online, newheightsowosso.church, or you can text the word give to 918-300-4483. Whatever it is that we need to do in this moment, let's do it, church. Let's start 2022 off right with worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you would, please stand as I pray. Father, I thank you so much for your presence in this place. Because as the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans, there is absolutely nowhere we can go that we can escape and run from your presence. Your love finds us. There's nothing that can separate us from you and that love. And so, Father, this day, this morning, we rejoice and we worship you because we have victory through you. So may we not glorify our issues, our situation, but Father, may we glorify you. And as we do, may you just fill us. Fill us with more of you, because that's our desire, that's our hope. And again, you said that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. So make us hungry, Father, make us thirsty, and then fill us with more of you. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. Church, I love you. Let's worship the Lord.